How you doing, everyone? I'm Russ Salzberg, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff. I'm joined by my colleague, former two-time Super Bowl champion, Mr. David Deal. How are you, buddy?
I'm excellent. There's nothing like the feeling of walking into this building, let alone when it's the regular season, right. But when it's Dallas week. You and I have been coming in and out of here throughout training camp, throughout the preseason games, but you feel the intensity when you walk in here week one, and rightfully so. What a better way to start off for the New York Giants than to see what they're made of up against the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, listen, you were a player, so you know what it's like, the drudgery of training camp and preseason. I don't know. I've been covering it for 30 years, and I'm telling you, it just seemed to drag more this year. I couldn't wait to get the season going. And as they say, the future is now. We play for keeps. The season starts. And, yeah, there is anticipation. But before you get to the anticipation of the Dallas Cowboys, your feeling on the roster as it's set right now?
You know, this is something that is obviously different than what the Giants have been able to do offensively. But this is something that they've attempted. You know, we saw that they've tried to go before with the Nikita Whitlock fullback situation, getting the blocking tight ends. And, you know, they have that this year. Last year, the injuries, it plagued them. And now when you look at this roster, especially offensively, the fact that they have Shane Smith, the fact that they have Red Ellison, the fact that they kept Matt Lacoste, who's another blocking tight end, you know, what they're going to be able to do personnel-wise to not only have the protection schemes in the passing game to make sure that they can go solid protection, they could have a tight end stay in, you can put Evan Ingram on the slot and have Rhett Ellison on the line, but also what they can do in the run game. One of the biggest things that they needed to work on was the point of attack blocking between the tight end and the tackle, being able to seal and stop a defense, especially at the defensive line position, in order to get those outside pitches, outside zones, and outside running game going, to open up a defense, to start spreading them out to where those inside zone runs can be more effective.
I'm glad you mentioned, because that seemed to be what I've been hearing from speaking with people, the point of attack. And while everybody is rightfully excited about Evan Ingram, Rhett Ellison, everybody's talking about, he is the guy to be involved with the point of attack. A lot of it's going to start with him.
And you saw it during the preseason, his ability to work with the tackles, get up to the second level, square up, not lose any ground on linebackers, to be able to take good angles at defensive end so that the tight or tackle who is pulling or the wide receiver who's coming down to possibly get a safety has no interference, no lane restriction. So it's very vital that they brought him in, who was considered one of the best blocking tight ends, if not the best in the NFL, to solidify that position. And he also has the receiving skills. So if you think about it, you know, a lot of times in play action, you know, linebackers start getting used to the tendency of a tight end blocking. All of a sudden, if you can slip them out late, you're going to create separation and one-on-one matchups that defensively, scheme-wise, after initially looking at offensive line and the protection schemes, they may have to take their eyes off of him, and he could slip out late, and you could be very effective that way as well.
All right, before we get to the phone calls, and I want to give you the number, it's 201-939-4513, or on Twitter, it's hashtag Giants Chat. Did anything happen to you, you know, with the final cuts, the way the roster is constituted now, that you were surprised somebody made it or somebody who didn't make it?
Well, I mean, you could sit here and say that amongst every training camp, because there's going to be a pick, there's going to be a surprise. There's always that type of stuff. But, you know, I really think that the Giants felt very comfortable with the depth of who they had coming in, the competition that they had at certain positions, that brought out the best in each and every player that they needed to at spots. So, I mean, if you really look at the defensive tackle position, you know, we're waiting to see, is it Tomlinson, is it Thomas? Jay Bromley played extremely well through the preseason.
He looked terrific.
Looked terrific now that he's healthy. So now that you have those three who are in a competition, they all got reps with the ones. They all got reps against another opposing offensive line that were the first team. So they're getting experience in a rotation that is exactly what they need at that defensive tackle position, because if you could stay fresh interiorly and continue to penetrate and cause those problems like this defensive line can, then you'll start to take away some of the double teams on Snack Harrison. That's why that three technique and that other day tackle is so important to cause havoc, to cause penetration, because if they don't, you're going to be able to single man block those and then try to do whatever you can to take anything away from Snacks.
All right, what do you say we pick up some phone calls and let's now head out to Ohio and speak with Bash. Bash, how are you doing today?
How are we doing today, fellas?
What's up, Bash?
Hey, nothing much. I was calling to see as far as the 53-man roster and stuff, as far as I wanted to get a little bit into the practice squad. Now, how does the practice squad work? I see as far as usually around the league and stuff, the 10-man practice squad league, practice squad, it goes around as far as they usually keep the players that was on the team for the 90s. So how does that work as far as, say, Travis Rudolph or Dante Dion? Do they, like, when they cut them, when they release them, they tell them, like, well, we're going to release you, but you'll be back on the practice squad. Like, how does that work as far as
the practice squad?
Bass,
thanks for the call. The practice squad is a situation. I mean, first of all, you don't have a choice just to say, am I right, Dave?
No.
Quite frankly, he mentioned Travis Rudolph. I thought the Giants were very fortunate, and I guess, you know, there are a lot of, they're not all superstar receivers, but there are a lot of receivers in the league. I thought if Travis Rudolph was going to get released, I thought he was going to get picked up on waivers.
Right.
The fact that he didn't, and he's back, because I think this young man has a future. We'll see what happens. But that's a classic case. If you don't clear, if you have to clear waivers,
yes,
for us to re-sign.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're going along with, Bash. Any player that's on the practice squad right now was released by the New York Giants. At that point, they are clear to waivers to any NFL team, all 31 other teams in the NFL, that they can pick them up. If they go through and no other NFL team picks them up off of waivers, then the Giants can re-go in, get back, re-sign them, and then put them to the practice squad. So that's where you're seeing right after that final cut on Friday and everything rolling into it into Saturday, that those are the busiest days in the NFL for the scouting department and everything upstairs, because you're trying to piece together your roster, but you're trying to piece together your practice squad group as well. So it's a very unique and tough time, and you're just hoping that those guys that you did release from your roster clear waivers, that you can bring them back. And you're right, Travis Rudolph is a perfect example of that. The fact that they were able to get him back, bring him back to this football team, that he will be able to practice, participate, and do everything up until game time, it gives him the flexibility that, knock on wood, if anything was to happen to any of the receivers, whether it's Tavares King, whether it's Dwayne Harris, if they want to put him back on specials and take him away from just being that primary receiver, they can bring him up, and he has the experience. He had the entire offseason and training camp that he can make that seamless transition, all while still seeing during the week what type of game plans offensively they're coming up with to go in that regular season game.
Again, I'm not privy to what the discussion was with Ben McAdoo and the entire coaching staff. I would think, though, Bash, a guy like young Travis Rudolph was in part of the discussion. Well, we have Rudolph here. We have Tavares King. We have Roger Lewis. Who's going to stay and who's going to go? And I, thinking the way Ben, I believe, likes to think, experience counts for something. King and Lewis have been here.
Yep.
They didn't do anything to merit them being let go. So I just think the situation was Travis Rudolph gets cut. Travis Rudolph doesn't get claimed on waivers. They can bring him back. Let's go to
– But to go along with that, what happens if all of a sudden in camp now is all done, now they're getting ready for the regular season, and Travis Rudolph starts having an unbelievable – practice week throughout, he's starting to pick up more schemes, he's starting to play better. You can always bring him up to the active roster, and that's why it's great to have somebody like that back. Bisnuati, same thing, the sixth round draft pick was cut, they bring him back up to practice squad. Yes, you hope that nothing happens to the tackles or one of the guards, but if something is to happen, you can also have, once again, the flexibility of bringing in somebody who is already in the system back up to the regular squad.
Well, you know, before we get to the phone calls, because you just touched on something that, you know, I'm going to take advantage of because you're here. You played that position. Everybody, listen, we know Eli has to be kept upright.
Yes.
That's the key to success. But to me, other than the quarterback position, the most difficult position to learn in the National Football League is an offensive lineman. I think it's very, very difficult. You come in, I don't care how big you are, you're going up against men. I think that's been Eric Flowers' problem. You know, everybody wants to criticize the kid. He came into this league as a 20-year-old, mm-hmm. and you have to move forward, and you're going up. It's still inexperienced. It's a difficult position to learn. Having said that, I'm not just talking about Flowers. The entire offensive line. It's got to start with them. You touched on earlier, it allows a running game and this and that. Are you happy with where it is right now?
I think that you've seen those shines of brightness. You've seen what they're able to do. You've seen some of that ability to step up, move the line of scrimmage, make sure they're maintaining a firm inside pocket, being able to get the defensive ends by. I think Bobby Hart, technique-wise, this is the best that he's looked since he's been a New York Giant. So, yeah, you see that brightness. You see some of those great things. But what do you need to see? You need to see it done on the regular season, and you need to see it done immediately, because that's the only way that you can truly change the perception. You know, you have training camp. You say it's just training camp. You don't really scheme. You have some success. You have some obstacles. You've got to show it week one, and that's the only thing that can take anything away from that group, and that's exactly what they want. They know where they're at offensive. They know where they're at as an offensive line. You hear them talk about it, Justin Pugh, Weston Richburg. We understand what we need to do as a group. Now it's just about going out and executing it, and the only way to change that, like I said, is to do it week one here against the Dallas Cowboys.
And they are very motivated to do that, that's for sure. They've been hearing the things that everybody else has been saying, and they want to prove everybody wrong. Again, the number to call is 201-939-4513, or by Twitter, it's hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to, she's been waiting on, let's go to Virginia. Virginia, where are you, Virginia?
Hello.
It's OJ in Virginia. Okay.
Me, I'm Warren. I've called a couple times. It's great to see you back, David, you know, and stuff, back on the show and everything. I am, like, really excited about this game this Sunday. And I really, really like our chances and stuff, because I feel like, you know, our secondary is better, especially that we made that trade with Pittsburgh. We got a starting caliber corner, and I just, that, you know, even if Odell doesn't play, I feel a lot better what the weapons that we have, that I feel like we can move down the field, because the Cowboys doesn't really have a secondary, and the defensive line is, like, suspended. But they usually suspend it every year, so that's not a surprise to me. But I feel like that's going to help us out.
Definitely. I think the bringing in Crockle on the backside definitely adds another veteran who's played a lot of football that understands schemes. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers do a lot of complex things, disguising, showing one coverage, bringing to another. More importantly, what else do they do like Coach Spagnuolo likes to do? They like to attack. They like to blitz. So you bring in another veteran who is an experienced player who it will take some time. This isn't just a plug-and-play position like anything else. It's going to take some communication. It's going to take some familiarity with everybody playing around you. But having another asset like that is huge flexibility-wise on the back end with what you can call in coverages. But what else does it do? It plays to your strength. The best pass rush is a coverage. When you have that split second extra, Olivier Vernon, JPP, that gives them just that split second extra to be able to put on that pressure that you hope a quarterback either gets sacked or doesn't have that time to where he can throw with his feet planted.
OJ, thank you.
Yeah, and he can real quick, can I say something real quick, too?
Sure, of course, you're here, buddy.
Also, I just want to say, like, I think it's even better because Eli Apple has been scaring me because he's been a little hurt. He's been getting a little banged up, and I'm not really liking that. And then, so you know how DRC, you know, he really when he went down in the playoffs, it cost us that game and stuff. And I feel like this, you know, having that fourth corner and then that he was a starter, it helps us out. And you know, I feel like, you know, Spagnuolo is like one of the best defensive coordinators. And, you know, once he gets really put into the system, it's going to, like, work against, you know, really work with us and stuff. And I just, you know, I just can't wait to see Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall and all the receivers just on the field together. And I just feel like I'm really hoping for a real big, you know, I'm hoping to get some Super Bowl tickets this year.
Your mouth to God's ears. Thank you for the call, OJ. You know,
thanks, OJ.
Brought up something about, you know, Coach Spags. Listen. He had a defensive unit last year, which was extremely good. But he had three guys who were brand new. You know, Snacks and Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins, and, of course, Ovi.
Yep.
How much of a difference?
And you think Eli. Apple.
Eli, yeah. You're right. But how much of a difference do you think, you know, it is for Spags to go into this season to change things up, to be a little more, I don't know if the word is creative. I don't want to say that because that would imply that he wasn't creative. But just to do more, because not only has he been with them for a year, but he also has a great deal of confidence in them. Plus, one guy who was on the verge, if he's not already, of becoming one of the very best defensive players in the league is number 21. Landon
Collins. Yeah, unbelievable. And you bring up a great point because you think about this time last year, how are all these pieces going to mesh together? What's it going to be like? And you saw right from week one, it just continued to develop and continue to grow. And for them to grow together as a group, number one, experience playing next to each other. It just builds confidence because what are you doing? You're reacting and you're not thinking. You're not worried about what's going on scheme-wise. You're not worried about what the player next to you is doing because you've played next to him. You know he understands. You know he understands what his job is. But the biggest thing it allows you to do is you know week one that they're going to come out with a different type of wrinkle offensively for the Dallas Cowboys. You know that you're going to see things that you've not seen preparing for that game. This allows you the ability to adapt and change a game plan. That's the biggest thing, that when you have confidence in a defense, when you're led by veterans like this, if an offense comes out with something that you really weren't ready for or prepared for, you have the type of players that have the confidence in their abilities to hit the switch and change to whatever it needs to be, whether it's more of an overfront, more of an underfront, maybe you have to play more nickel than you were expecting. Having these players with experience and the talent on that side of the ball allows more ability during a game to adapt and change schemes more than it is just going into the game itself.
And I think the one thing that gets overshadowed because they are so talented, and I don't think you're going to agree with me. I know you're going to agree with me. You know, I interviewed John Mara prior to last season,
and
he had said it's very dangerous to try and rebuild a unit through free agency. It becomes a big gamble. You know, and they had gone out and gotten Snacks and OV and Janoris Jenkins. You know the talent you're getting, but I don't think anybody, and that includes media as well, anybody knew what kind of leadership all three of those men were bringing to the team within the locker room. And throw in the fact that Landon Collins was going into his second year and he truly became a leader. They have leadership and talent to go along with it.
But what else do they have? They have a work ethic. You see these guys practice hard, they play hard, they swarm to the football. And one of the things you always hear coaches say, take what you've done on the practice field to the game field. What they're doing in practice, the way they're flying around, the way that they have that swag and that confidence, they've done it game in and game out throughout the preseason, and they're ready to go.
Well, we will see. I'm having a little problems with the phone line here. You know, I touched on something before. You didn't really mention it to me. Ereck Flowers.
Yes.
Where do you think he is now in his growth?
I definitely think that he's gotten better as a football player. But once again, what does it revert back to? When times are tough, when adversity hits during a game, as an offensive lineman, you've got to trust your technique. Because if you don't trust your technique, you revert back to those errors and those things that make it easy. That defensive end has a step on you. What's your first initial instinct to do? To turn and open it up. You're giving him the win immediately. You still have to use your technique. You still have to kick back, and you still have to give yourself a fighting chance based on your trust in your technique. I think he's gotten much better, but once again, it's throughout a period of time. It's throughout this football game, and it's getting better consistently week in and week out because just like anybody, watching an offensive lineman for a defense, you're looking at tendencies. You're looking at hands. You're looking at sets. They're trying to change up as much as they can as a defensive line and as a defensive end as possible to try attacking those weaknesses because they're on film, and they will continue to do it until you fix it. So in regards to him and his technique, I think he has gotten better, and we've talked about this before, it's not only Eric Flowers. No, it's amongst the NFL, the tackles that have converted.
Right.
You know, Lyle Collins was considered the road grading tackle. This game up against JPP is his first start at right tackle. We heard all this time, Tunsil, Premier, feet, all that stuff. He's played guard the entire time. The only one that has played tackle and done it at a high level was Jack Conklin. Everybody else was either moved inside or those players that come into the draft that are center guard. Transitioning inside interiorly is much easier than it is outside.
You know, I'm looking here. We've been on here 20 minutes, and you just mentioned JPP. We were talking about the defense. We mentioned JPP for the first time. I never thought, if in the interest of full disclosure, I never ever thought that he was going to make it all the way back.
I'll admit it. I think we all could have doubts, especially the significance
of
your hand as a defensive end, let alone in a football player.
But to see where he is at now, he looks bigger and better than ever.
This is the most explosive I've seen him in a long time. Figure in 2015, recovering from the back, working through that last year, getting through the hand. He is back to JPP form where he's explosive. He's coming off. He's getting a great burst first step. His leverage in his hips, his balance.
Everything. He just
the biggest
strong.
Thing, though, his confidence in that hand now. He was a long arm stab, bull rush you work outside, having that. His pass rush ability and his confidence right now is off the charts. And this is going to be his best year since 2011.
Yeah, I think we were all left to wonder, you know, when he came back that first year and was playing with the club on his hand and, you know, we were doing the post-game
show. Yeah.
You could see.
You can't grab. Yeah.
You know, and plus, he was first getting back into shape. He made strides last year, but looking at him in camp now, he just looks he looks like the real deal. Again, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants chat. Let's go to Bam Bam in Rockville Center. Bam Bam, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you?
As in Bam Bam Bigelow or just Bam Bam?
It's a play off of Bam Bam Bigelow.
I like it. Perfect. How's it going, man?
You know,
what can we help
Dave,
you with?
My call is actually for you. It's really not a question. It's more of just a comment. One of the things I saw last year come back to the Giants was something they were missing. Basically from like the start of the 2013 season on was a pride in the uniform. And I really just wanted to thank you and the guys that you played with because those years watching the Giants, you felt a sense of pride in the uniform and in the helmet and the organization. And I think it's great to see that that's coming back. More guys like you that play with that kind of toughness. So just thanks for all that you did, and I'll hang up and continue listening to the show. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Bam Bam. Great compliment. But
I'm going to say something to that, though. And you know how I feel about you and the guys you played for. But having said that, and you're 100% right, you know, this guy right here played with a great deal of pride. But let's not equate winning and losing with playing with pride. Because I don't care if you're an 0-60. You know, it's hard to pick yourself up off the remember when Tom's team started 0-6? Guys were playing with pride. They were getting beat up and smacked down. So you got to be careful about, you know, I don't want – you know, you don't think Eli was playing for pride the last few years and all those other people?
Yeah, no. I think that you could have taken it that way. I mean, it was in between. It could have gone anyway.
Right.
But you do make a great point. But that's one of the greatest thing about being a New York Giant, or for me, being a New York Giant lifetime member. You realize the minute that you put on that jersey and you put on that helmet, there is a history and tradition that is much bigger than the name on the back of your jersey. So it's great for me to see and continue to hear now Giants pride being brought back, the signs everywhere, because it means something. It means something to all these players, and it was more evident last year and into this year than ever because of what we were talking about. New players, veterans coming in, they now understand what it means to be a New York Giant. They know what NFC East rivals are like. They feel it, and now they feel that pride and what it is to have the best fan base in the world.
Yeah, no, I just the reason I say that because
having
been a guy covering not just this team and all the teams in New York, when a team's not winning, Or I'll hear somebody says, well, he doesn't care about winning. Or this. I heard somebody say about Joe Girardi last week. I'm driving on the radio. He's not interested in winning. Like, what are you talking about? So that's why
adversity, that, you know what, adversity always tests the character of a man without a doubt. And what's the cure-all? Winning. Vitamin W. Yeah,
boy, I'll tell you what. You win, that bandwagon gets overflowed in a hurry. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Brandon in Jersey. Brandon, how are you today?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Brandon?
Yeah. Now, I'm glad David Dill's on the show this morning. I call it on the perfect day because there's two things I believe the Giants are going to do and I think they need to do. Now, for one, that is, I believe that they're going to pay my man Odell this week, and that's going to make the team go crazy once they pay this boy. Two, I feel like they need to put DJ Fluka in at right guard. Now, David Dill, you can vouch for me. Now, you know offensive linemen. I've been looking at the preseason and counting. He was going against twos and threes, but I see a man that's determined to win a starting position job. And I've seen how he played next to Bobby Hart, and I feel like he fits in the offensive line. And I just don't think John Jerry mentally is in it. I've never seen him play like this before. I've been saying I wanted Fluka in there, but I don't know if the competition getting to him or what, or if the coaching staff sees some type of confidence in there to keep him in there. But I believe the starting line needs to be Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Fluka, Hart. What you think?
Well, that's something yet to be seen. And obviously for me, I'm not Coach Mike Solari, the offensive line coach, and I'm not Coach McAdoo, the one making these decisions. The one thing I will say is that there were times throughout training camp and throughout games where DJ Fluker's technique went to the wayside because of conditioning. He wasn't in the best shape physically. And you know that when you want to push the tempo, when you want to play up-tempo speed, where you're trying to keep a defense off keel, your technique is what is going to win those battles more than anything else. So even though this is right here, John Jerry is the starting right guard, which we've seen the way that he has been able to play throughout the regular season to finish the season and play strong. He still knows that there's a veteran right behind him that can push that button and move up regardless of what his rank is, where he's at. It's all based upon performance. So even though he's considered a starter right now, there's nothing set in stone that's guaranteed that for the rest of the season. You hope that John Jerry steps up and plays the way he's capable of, and you hope that DJ Fluker takes this as a motivating factor, that when he goes out and practices, when he's going up against the defense and when he gets his opportunity, he still continues to show, like he did in training camp, that he deserves to be the starter.
Brandon, did you say you expect the Giants to pay or play Odell Beckham this week?
I expect him. I remember in 2008 when we started, we was the Super Bowl champions, and we started off that year. That same day, they paid Flexible Burridge that game. Wow. And I've seen some type of spark in our team. Like, we came out, we was already the champs, but that just put the icing on the cake, paying him before the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm not privy to any contractual negotiations, and thank you for the call, Brandon.
I think it's just they may bring some bread to the table more than just icing on the cake of anything. Yeah. But I think more than anything, more than the contract, they want Odell Beckham back for this football game to play because of the intensity that he brings in practice, the energy that he brings game day. And I know for each one of these players on his team, when they look out there and he's doing his thing, getting ready for a game, it lets each and every one of them take a deep breath knowing that they got a guy who can tear the roof off of a place in one play.
Look, this is not the Big Blue Chamber of Commerce here, okay? But understand this. Unless you see the guy every day, and you know what? Without question, the wide receiver position is, quote-unquote, the diva position in the National Football
League. Without a doubt.
Having said that,
the defensive backs are, they just don't have hands.
That's exactly right. But having said that, to a man, everybody on that Giant team will tell you, nobody works harder than Odell Beckham Jr. You know, it's Muhammad Ali, let him rest in peace, used to say, it ain't bragging if you can back it up.
Without a doubt.
And believe me, that is Odell Beckham Jr. As far as a contract, you know, more to the point, forget the contract right now, just is Odell Beckham Jr. going to play this week? And nobody knows that for sure. We can sit here and speculate. Coach McAdoo has kept it very close to the vest, making progress. My gut feeling, you tell me yours, my gut feeling, it is going to be, unless he has a setback this week, it's going to be a game-time decision.
Same thing.
Yeah. All right. Mike in Oakland. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great this morning. Happy to be on the show.
Great to have you. What's up, Mike?
Well, you know, you guys covered a lot of ground already today, and a lot of the reasons why I'm really psyched up, optimistic about the season and feeling like, you know, it's the best team we've had in years and ready to make a 10th year anniversary of the big 18-1 victory, like, memorable. So I'm ready for another Super Bowl. But I was going to say that for me, the kind of under-the-radar story of this offseason and preseason really is Bobby Hart, because – you know, I've been watching all of his snaps, slow motion, and what I see is a right guard who's actually doing his job and has made a lot of improvement. What do you think about that?
I said that earlier when we were talking about the offensive line. Fundamentals, technique, I mean, it's been absolutely phenomenal, the progress that Bobby Hart has made from last season throughout the spring until this season. You see him much more active with his hands. You see him taking great landmarks in the sets. You see him getting his hands inside and his leverage in the run game. So I believe that he could be the most improved offensive player this year on this team, barring health and barring what happens next to him at the guard position. Because if there's an influx and there's a rotation of John Jerry and DJ Fluker and you're not really sure, it affects you at the right tackle position by the way that you play and the confidence that you have in your sets. But you said it. I think he's been absolutely phenomenal. But now what does he need to do? He needs to do it on the big stage week in and week out consistently. And I'm sure you're referring to the Pro Football Focus, the stats that come out. I'll just say this as an offensive lineman and somebody who studied the game. Don't go by those analytics because a lot of times they don't know protections. They don't know slides. They don't know where help was supposed to come. They don't know your playbook.
Michael, thank you.
I hear that. And
go ahead.
Well, I got a couple more quick ones for you because I know you got other people waiting. But I appreciate that, David, just because obviously you know what you're looking at, and
yep.
You know I'm an armchair offensive lineman. But yeah, I see a lot of good from him. I'll say a couple things and then leave you with a question. So number one, Eric Flowers. You know, my line before the offseason was, you know, he needs to get some martial arts training so he can strike better and sink down and have a better base, and. You know, he went out and he trained in boxing, and he trained hard in the off season. So, you know, I got to give him credit for doing the work. I still see him leaning and lunging a lot more than I'd like to see instead of working from kind of a good balance. But I'm looking forward to see what he does in the season. And I feel like he doesn't have to be the best, you know, left tackle in the business. He just has to be, you know, top 20% or something, and we'll have a great season. So, other thing, best, you know, my vote for best move in the offseason is bringing Antonio Pierce in to bring B.J. Goodson along. I think that was a fantastic move. Can't wait to see what Goodson does this year. And I want to see him bring in so my question for you to follow up on is, number one, what's the chances of bringing Darius Powell back? Because I was really hoping that he would make the roster and like what I saw from him. And then the second thing, what's the chances of bringing Ahmed Bradshaw in as a coach? Because in my opinion, Bradshaw was the best blocking running back I've ever seen. And I don't see why we don't bring him in and have him, you know, use that vision to teach our running backs to see what he saw.
Well, let me just say one thing, and then I'll let the expert handle it. And listen, I loved Ahmad Bradshaw. Bradshaw, first
pound
of
for
all,
pound, if I was going into a fight with one football player, I would pick Ahmad Bradshaw day in and day out.
Without question. And he, for a little guy, he played like he was your size.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Fearless.
Absolutely fearless. Having said that, and I understand his point about bringing in Antonio Pierce, but a lot of times, and you know this, having been a player, your best players, it doesn't necessarily mean you're the best coach.
No, no, there's a lot that goes into it. But in regard to Antonio Pierce and B.J. Goodson, you could see B.J. Goodson's confidence, his communication, his verbal intensify when Antonio Pierce, because that's who Antonio was. Antonio wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the fastest, but he could watch and recognize schemes offensively. He was vocal. He communicated and make sure that you were on the same page. And they always say on the defensive side of the ball, if you're all wrong, you're right, because that means everybody's on the same page. As long as everybody's on the same page, you can play well together and make the moves that you need to make as a group. So he's done that. Completely agree. In regards to Ereck Flowers, you're right. Big thing is tying your hands and feet together with keeping your shoulders back, being able to punch aggressively, but not getting your feet stuck in the ground in cement is very important as an offensive lineman and an offensive tackle. What do you say? You want to start the fight at least after your second and third kick. And what do you want to do? You want to restart or redirect the defensive end's rush. If you can do those two things, you have a fighting chance. And the last thing with hands as a offensive tackle, you have got to be a boxer. You can't be a gunslinger. Boxers always have their hands up. They're ready to fight. They're ready to punch, readjust. Anytime that you see a guard or a tackle, gunslinger going to shoot from the hip, number one, what's your tendency to do? You punch forward and your shoulders get forward. But two, you're exposing your leverage in your chest for a defensive end to stab and control you regardless of your weight.
All right, so having said that, and Mike, thank you for the call. Having said that, Dave, how long did it take you? You were drafted. How long did it take you to really feel comfortable with all your techniques? Did it take a year? Did it take 2 years? Was it your third? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when I say comfortable, where
I
have the confidence to be the guy in his team.
I think the fact that I started playing early and I started at right guard my rookie year, you learn that you have to punch to survive for you to have a standing chance. And that was one of the things that was one of my advantages, long arms. Keep the guys away from you. If you can fight them off, run them by, or do those things, that's where your competitive advantage is. The fact that I played all the different positions is another thing in college that allowed me to be versatile in the pros, but allowed me to have that confidence that I've done this before. I've moved to different positions. It's different when you're coming in. You're thrown right in at one position. It's go get them. It's difficult, especially when you're at that left tackle position going up against elite defensive ends.
And I'm not going to be a shrink here, but you know, when you get Ereck Flowers drafted early and comes with a big I want to say price tag or a big label, it adds a little more pressure. And again, he came into the league as a 20-year-old, and people forget that, and that's an important fact to remember. Dave in Cranford. Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. It's great to talk to both the sweater and to talk to David Deal. So I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you for the call, buddy. What's up?
Hey, Dave, I just want to tell you two things. I want to get your comments on something in terms of how the team is set up this year. First of all, is on every lifelong Giant fan, David Deal, we want to thank you for everything you did for this team. You got two rings to wear on your hands for very good reason. And we all look back to those teams between you, Sean, Chris, Richie, Kevin Boss, you know, your buddies, Dave Tollefson, all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those were some of the glory days. You were right in the middle of that. You moved around positions. You never complained. You put your head down. And every Giant fan appreciates what you did for the team.
Team first, team last, team always.
And you know what? Ben McAdoo said that to me last week. I was interviewing him for our preseason show over at Channel 5, and he said it's just about – I asked him the big difference, Ben, going into your second year as head coach as opposed to, you know, your first year. He says, not about me. It's about the team.
That's right. That's right.
It's about the team.
So thanks, Dave.
We appreciate
that.
Dave, I wanted to ask you a question about the impact for an offensive lineman having a blocking tight end like they do in Red Ellison and a fullback. It just seems in the preseason, one of the things I noticed was a lot of times the fullback, when it worked well, grant you, that it seemed like he took out the first guy that would be coming in to tackle the running back and gave the running back that extra. I don't think our running game needs to, be something dramatic. But if it can be positive in this offense where they don't have negative plays and where we can average, you know, 4-plus yards, a carry. So I just like to, from an offensive lineman's perspective, what's the impact when you know you got a fullback or a tight end behind you that can block?
Absolutely tremendous, and you're right. That was a great job by you recognizing that simple thing that you think about in zone schemes. Bob, back on backer. So you have your fullback on the backer, on the linebacker that's supposed to fill the hole. So what does it allow you to do front side with your offensive guard or with your front side center? It allows you to try to completely beat the crap out of the defensive tackle to work a double team to the backside linebacker so that you're not trying to stretch and you're not getting separation by that front side defensive tackle trying to penetrate. And it allows you to just get your feet in the ground and try to get that defensive tackle on one leg to work to the backside. So you're not even looking at that front side backer because you know the fullback is the person who can come and swab and take care of that. Adds more flexibility, allows you to get more push at right at the point of attack. And what does it do? It allows operations to start separating because you're not trying to double duty as the guard and the center up front. Having, like I said earlier, Red Ellison, the tight end, having his ability to stop at the point of attack, a defensive end trying to collapse to the outside if it's a zone or an outside. The double team fits between him and the tackle have been phenomenal. So if you want to toss in power, if you want to run in that type of power game, just scheme-wise, it just allows you to attack a defense in so many ways. And it also allows you to slash them, fullback going weak, tight end going strong. It just allows you to get a linebacker, instead of taking that split second where he's reacting, you always see him. You see the hop.
Right.
The minute that you see that linebacker hop, that's exactly where you want to be offensively in the run game because he's not reacting. He's trying to think of where the ball's supposed to go.
See, Dave, that's why I feel very comfortable with this Dave sitting next to me because he doesn't dilly-dally. He gets right. He likes to say stuff like beating the crap out of somebody.
Yeah.
That's what makes me feel at home.
That's part of being an offensive lineman. That's part of the game.
It is a mentality.
Because if you think about the amount of athletes now on the defensive side of the ball, and if you think about what the New York Giants are going to face this year, you're playing up against the AFC West. Kansas City Chiefs have more than one premier pass rusher. Los Angeles Chargers have more than one. Oakland, Denver. It's not like you're just going up and saying, we're going to slide protection one way. You've got to be able to look at it both ways now because they're coming off of both edges. What's the only way to take something off of them? Is being able to run the football, go right at them, and start breaking them down physically.
And again, we were talking about, the offensive line, they don't have to be the best in the league. And I noticed this in the first quarter against the Jets in a preseason game. All of a sudden, they were getting – and listen, the Jets have a pretty good defensive front. So that was a good sign to see. They don't have to open up huge holes, but – give them some daylight.
Yeah, like you fight. At the point. Finish plays.
Exactly.
Fight. Make sure you seal people up. And just like on the defensive side of the ball, you always hear, well, when guys are running to the ball, good things happen. As an offense and as an offensive line, if you just block into the whistle and you're able to lock on and stay on your guy, that's when those gains turn from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to big breaking runs in the third and fourth quarter.
All right. Again, Dave, thank you very much. 201-939-4513. Got time for calls. Still plenty of time left in the show. Let's go to Pat in New York. Wants to talk about the O-line. Pat, how you doing, buddy?
A lot of offensive line questions. A lot of
them. Well, we got an offensive lineman here with 2 Super Bowl rings. What the hell do you want to talk about?
I know.
Cooking? What's up, Pat?
Yeah, I'm not calling to talk about the Jets here, Dave.
Come on. I know.
Hey, let's start off with some pleasantries here. Happy National Cheese Pizza Day, guys.
Oh, fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm already face painted for Sunday. You're gonna have to take my word on that one. Can't wait for Sunday night, although I look a little weird in the office today.
I know this voice, Mr. Patrick. I know who this is.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan of you, big fan of the team. And speaking of which, the fans haven't talked this much about the offensive line and got geeky this much about the offensive line since you guys were getting fitted for Super Bowl rings year after year here. Now, you're in the building today. We're not. Are we being paranoid, or should we have confidence in this offensive line? I know we're talking about it ad nauseum here, but it's the one big question mark on this team, and this is the one thing that the fans really want to know. So, break it down for me.
I mean, look at, like we were saying earlier throughout this entire program, Pat, I mean, we could sit here and say that things are fixed, and I have confidence in the group themselves. I know that I've talked to Justin. I've watched him all throughout training camp. I've watched him through the preseason. I've seen all of this stuff. But the only way to change perception and the only way to change it as a fan is to be able to see it live and to make something say, okay, something's different.
What's the saying? Talk is cheap,
talk
play the
is
game.
Talk is cheap, play the game. So we're sitting here looking at an offensive line that hasn't changed. Yeah, there may have been some competition bringing in DJ Fluker, but it is the same offensive line. Are we going to sit here and say that they've completely changed? And are they the team that they need to be and the group that they need to be up front? Or at the end of this year, are we going to say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result? The only thing that can change this and change the fans' perspective and change any doubt in anybody's mind is the way that they go and play against the Dallas Cowboys. I have confidence. I think they can do it. I think scheme-wise with Red Ellison and Shane Smith that there's going to be a lot more hitting, a lot more physical play to where they can beat things up inside and really start to wear down defenses. Having Evan Engram and having these wide receivers, if you go four wide, what's the next thing that you're going to have to do? You're going to have to step out your Sam or your Will linebacker. You're going to have to spread them out. It spreads the defenses, which opens up lanes in the zone running scheme inside. So there are ways in the scheme that they're going to be able to do a lot more things than they were last year. Now it's up to them just to get the blocking done and to let all naysayers go to the wayside and prove it by their actions.
You know, Pat, the one thing Jerry Reese, we were talking about change, that things haven't changed, but the one thing, and Jerry Reese brought this up going into training camp, that has changed, the experience factor with this unit.
Without
They've had another year together, and you could expound on that. As I asked you, how long did it take you to get comfortable? They've had a lot of snaps together, and that experience, maybe that can translate into helping as well.
Without a doubt, because you've been through the good times, you've been through the adversity together, and you know that you have fought through it together, standing next to each other. So the double team fits, the meshes, the communication. They're at a point now that they should be able to go through a game plan and not have to communicate to one another based on playing together for so long and next to each other for so long. Now it's about putting that product on the field.
All right, Andrew in New York. Andrew, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, what's going on?
I have a question about special teams.
All right.
So, you know, I'm watching who the fifth or sixth wide receiver is going to be on the team, and you know, the rookie out of Florida State, undrafted, was a big story. I think that's Travis Rudolph. But you see other guys make the team at wide out, and they talk about the contributions on special teams that he makes. And because I'm just not familiar with the game, what makes one wide receiver who looks like he's got, I guess, a similar build or would be a gunner, what makes one really better than the other? Is it effort? Is it like defense in the NBA? Either you care or you don't? Or are there real special techniques and, I suppose, physicality types that you need for punt coverage and kick coverage?
Well, there's obviously a difference in what you're looking at between a receiver and a receiver who can be the gunner, who can be that physical special teams guy. You're also looking to see where they're at on the depth chart. If you can bring in a player who can go down and cover kicks and give you that flexibility and depth, but you're not putting Odell or one of your starters out there at that position. I think overall, one of the things that you're looking for is a player that is fast, is explosive, is good with his hands, and plays without fear. I mean, when you're on special teams, you've got to go down there and make plays. You've got guys running full steam. You've got to be able with, we always say, with all the chaos going on around you, you've got to be able to keep your head. Because you're going to see guys flying. You're going to see numbers. A lot of times what you normally see week one that gets a lot of special teams and coverage teams, whether it's kickoff or punt returns, you're going to see a lot of people on that other side following the same color jersey because they've done it in practice. You've got to spread the field. You don't want to stack each other. So I think a lot of it comes down to confidence, and it comes down to a toughness of a player that has a chip on his shoulder that has earned this spot on this roster based upon his ability to be at depth at the wide receiver position, but to make key contributions on the special team.
And you know what, Andrew, you brought up, you mentioned Travis Rudolph, and thank you for the call. I wouldn't look at it as a negative, like he was doing something bad on special teams while he didn't make the team. That's just a position.
Yeah.
That's a loaded position
loaded depth,
on the Giants. And I just felt like the names of again, I wasn't privy. We mentioned this earlier in the show. I wasn't privy to sitting in any of the meetings. But I would think Travis Rudolph's name was mentioned in the triumvirate, let's say, of Tavares King
and Roger Lewis. Yeah.
And you know what? They didn't do anything to merit them being cut. And experience is a factor with Ben McAdoo.
Without a doubt.
And that's why the decision was made. Joe in the Bronx. Joe, how are you today, my friend?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Doing excellent, Joe. How are you, buddy?
David, I'd like to speak about you've got a fullback this year, David.
I thought those were extinct in the NFL.
David, I think last year there seemed to be a problem for the Giants to punch the ball in the end zone from the 3-yard line. I guess we only got 6 rushing touchdowns all last year. Now with the addition of Shane Smith this year, David, do you think that Coach McAdoo is going to call his number and try and get some run the ball into the end zone, David? That's what I want to see.
All you have to do is look at where Coach McAdoo came from and the way that Mike McCarthy runs that system in Green Bay. A lot of times you've heard John Kuhn run the football, catch the football out of the backfield and block. Like I said, they tried this before. It didn't work. The injuries at the tight end position and the injuries at the fullback position last season didn't allow them to have this flexibility. They knew that they had to come in with more of a power running game. That's why they went and got Red Ellison. That's why you see Shane Smith on the roster, so that they can be that punishing group that when it's 3rd and 1 and the other team knows that you're running the football and you're running the football, that you have that physical toughness. You have the people in front that want to play physical football, and that will convert that into a first down to convert and move the chains. That is such a huge momentum piece for an offense, and it just completely demoralizes a defense when you have that confidence and that ability. And those are the things that, like I said, you start getting that hesitation in the mind of a defense that, wow, they're coming after us and we can't stop them.
Okay, David, because by the looks of your fullback on social media,
he's a monster.
He looks like a big kid, David.
He is a monster.
Is he like 240?
Yeah, he's like 240, 245. I mean, he's not as big, but, I mean, he's like almost like a Brandon Jacobs there in the backfield.
Yeah,
that's what I want to hear.
You know what, Joe? Every time somebody brings up, and I'm going to date myself because you know, I started watching from another era, but you know, call it a copycat league, and certain guys do certain things. You know, it doesn't exist anymore. I remember when Lombardi was running the Green Bay Packers, and it was Horning and Taylor. Okay,
Fuzzy Thurston and Jerry Kramer pulling.
But student body left.
Yeah.
Student body, you know, sweep left, sweep right. Well, you know, when the Miami Dolphins won a Super Bowl, there were guys by the name of Sanka and Kick and Mercury Morris.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and the crosstown rivals here, the Jets, when they won a Super Bowl, had guys by the name of Snell and Boozer. That doesn't exist anymore.
Well, what you're starting to see, is it coming back?
Yeah, it'd be nice to see that. I like that kind of football.
I think that you're going to see more and more of it because, don't get me wrong, we all love fantasy. We all love wide receivers. We all love high-scoring games. But what happens when that high-scoring up-tempo fails and you can't run the ball and you can't control the time of possession? You're completely wearing down your defense. You start seeing fundamental errors, technique lines up. You see wrong spacing. You see false starts. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to overcome when you fall in quicksand and you're just digging yourself deeper back into it. So as much as this game has changed, as much as you want to be able to air it out, if you can't run the football, if you can't control the line of scrimmage and the time of possession, you're in for a lot of trouble in this league.
And you know what, Joe, with the situation, thank you for the call, with the situation being what it is, the defense being so strong, because I believe the defense could be, you know, the best.
Without a doubt.
Certainly one of the best. But if they get some help.
And they can play fast and they're fresh.
Oh, my goodness.
Without
gracious.
A doubt.
Yeah, really, really something. I mean, this has a chance. Defense wins. You need your defense to win it. And listen, They won two Super Bowls. This guy was on two Super Bowls where their defense came up big. But again, they need some help, and you don't want them getting tired.
And we would think about that. We would think about that going into games. I mean, what do you think our opening drive in Super Bowl 42 was? We want to keep Tom Brady off of the field. We know what type of athletes we have on the defensive line. If we just keep them fresh, they're going to get the takeaways. They're going to be able to shut them down.
I will never forget Strahan looking at you guys prior to that last drive.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to win this game, and you're going to do it right now. And I remember all of you, to a man, looking at him, it was like your Pop Warner coach was talking to you.
You're sitting there looking at a Hall of Famer telling you that this is it.
This is it. Get off your butts. This is it. We're going to win it right now.
And I still, to this day, I'll never forget going into that week when Michael Strahan walked in front of our entire team and was talking about losing to the Ravens in the Super Bowl. I mean, his body language, his face, you could just feel the emotions he had in him. And then here you are, the last drive of the game, looking at him at his last opportunity to win a Super Bowl. You're selling out.
No, I'll never forget. There are things you remember and things you want to forget. That I will always remember. We got time for another call. Let's go to Andrew in Stanhope. Andrew, how are you today, my friend?
Good. You guys are saying exactly what I was thinking, what I was always asking for, the fullback element in the running game. They have the actual fullback on the roster. They signed a tight end that blocks and catches. And it's like you said, Dave, it's not glamorous, but the third and one, third and two, you can get the first down and keep the chains moving. Even if you don't get a touchdown, maybe a field goal, or maybe even flip field position if you do have to punt. So, and the third and threes, it can't always be passed. You know, it's predictable.
Yep.
And they would take Eli with no running back, and it's like everyone in the world knows it's the pass. So that little play of 2 yards that keeps the chains moving. The pass rushers are more rested in the fourth quarter, so I'm excited. It's big. It's not glamorous like hitting Beckham for a 70-yard pass, but it's so important, equally important. I want to ask you specifically about Fluker, how he looked. I'm impressed with him. I always wanted them to draft him. And how you feel the offensive line. They definitely look improved overall from last year. Your thoughts on Fluker and the overall offensive line.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Andrew. We've got a little problem with the hook up there, a little staticky. We've been talking about the offensive line.
We've gotten a lot of offensive line calls
but listen,
in there today.
I knew that was going to happen today,
absolutely.
Especially with you. But
no question.
It's
the biggest question mark that people had going into the season.
Look,
it's understandable.
It's not very complicated. What the Giants and every team wants to stay away from, they don't want second and eights. How about a second and four? How about a second and five? Second and eight, second and nine. You know, that puts you in a hole right away.
And I think Andrew talked about it a little bit, what it allows you to do in personnel groupings by not always showing the same one, not being predictable, not giving that defense at one split second where they can get a read up front on what you're doing game plan-wise by being able to carry a blocking tight end and a fullback. But also, Red Ellison can catch the football extremely well. So having that type of dynamic duo is huge for this offense. Because you can line up in that same grouping. You can toss out wide. You can run it in between. You can play power. There's so much more in flexibility that you can do. DJ Fluker, like we were saying, this is great. This is great to have a six-man like this who right now is not the starter. John Jerry, they feel, is the starter. They gave him the starting nod. But it gives you more depth. It gives you another guy who's not only played a lot of football, but he's played a lot of football at the guard and the right tackle position. So you have a flexible player. And if you're really wanting to line up in smash mouth, I know I was talking about line him up as a jumbo. Put your biggest guys out there. Go two tights with him and Red Ellison. Put Shane Smith there and say, okay, try to stop us.
Yeah, I think what did you say? It gives you more depth. And what does depth give you more of? Competition.
Competition.
And I don't care if it's Little League, Pop Warner, high school, college of the pros, guys like to be pushed, whether they admit it or not. Because to me, the biggest thing about a professional athlete, unless you've hung around with one, it could be on a golf course, all you guys love to compete.
Absolutely.
And the better ones really love to compete. They thrive. You know, Parcells used to say to us, you know, Sims and Taylor, they would play in a parking lot. They would play in a parking lot. And I used to say, what the hell are you talking about?
Because they love the game. They love
to
compete.
And then I got to know the guys more, and they were 100%. He was 100% correct. Guys love to play. It's that competition.
No question. And like I said, even though he is not the starter right now, he can do something to change that by the way that he plays in practice and shows that he deserves to be the starter.
Yeah. You know, we haven't touched on it real quickly. Do you think we're going to see Ezekiel Elliott against the Giants?
You know what? I'm not sure. We don't know exactly how that's going to play out and what's going to happen game time. I just know this is a defense. They're preparing for this game the same exact way.
Yeah, I don't – people have been asking me all week, do you game plan differently? Do you do this? To me, you have to prepare your game to win.
Yeah, and on your strengths.
At your
exactly.
strength. And you can't alter from that because once you start – fooling around with that, then you start out. What do they call it? Paralysis by analysis. You can overthink it.
Without a doubt. And it's different. You're talking, I understand each running back has a different set of skills. They like different runs. It's a lot different when you're going up against either drop back quarterback or scrambling quarterback. Then you've got to worry about your defense. Do you need to worry about spying somebody because the quarterback can play 11-on-11 football? In scheme wise, and the running fits, and the zone running game, and all the different types of things that you want to hit, lane discipline, offense is going to come out with the offense that they run and that they feel is successful. You know that they have the utmost confidence in their offensive line. So, defensively for the Giants, you're preparing the same exact way, regardless of whether he's in there or not.
Again, you know the old saying, it talks cheap. We got to play the game. We haven't played game one yet, and every coach throughout the league, in any sport, the number one thing you're always going to worry about is the injury. And just one injury can set everything back. It becomes a domino effect. I do believe if this team stays healthy, and that's why you hear the fans so enthused, if this team stays healthy, they can do something special this year. You know, Parcells, again, I'm quoting an old coach, getting into the tournament. Let's get into the tournament, and then you see what happens. And that's the most important thing, getting into the tournament.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, again, I'm Russ Salzberg. This guy is David Deal. You've been watching Big Blue Kickoff. Again, the number to call, I will be here with you tomorrow, is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. It's been fun. The season is getting ready to go. So we got a whole season ahead, and I will see you tomorrow. Thanks.